You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we say hello to you on a Tuesday afternoon. We're going to talk a little bit about the college football season. And when we last saw you, remember Alabama was the number one team in the country? Not anymore. We're going to tell you about that in a second. A lot to do today on the program, but ESPN does this every year after spring. They come out with a post-spring top 25. Let's take a look at what Mark Schlabaugh has in store for everyone. And am I seeing this correctly? Oklahoma taking over the top spot? What about Bama? What about Georgia? Is this even conceivable? Oklahoma number one? Stop the presses. Oh, there aren't any more presses. Alabama, Georgia three, Clemson four. Kind of feel that maybe taking a bit of a hit this year without that golden boy at quarterback. Ohio State five, Iowa State, A&M seven. North Carolina with a great quarterback at eight. Cincinnati nine, Oregon 10. We'll talk more about that later on. Meanwhile, Pat Dilley is back, the retired scribe, talking about the Dogs, saying in his book of lists, volume 10, why the media will be dating Georgia this summer. I don't know about that, Pat. How interesting. We will talk to Dilley in a couple of minutes. Michigan, does Michigan have a quarterback? Probably not, but they think they do. After spring ball, Cade McNamara is leading the parade. Jim Harbaugh has just gotten an extension. We don't know why, but we don't really care. We're just glad he's there. So everyone has its favorite pinata tomorrow on Cinco de Mayo. Meanwhile, more news from the Big Ten. After a four-month search, they've looked right down the hallway. Have you ever heard that before in college football? Northwestern has promoted Mike Pelisky to the AD. He replaces Jim Phillips, who is now Jim Phillips is now the commissioner of the ACC. So that's where we are here on this Tuesday afternoon. The phone lines are always available to you, even when we're off the air. You can call in and wait for the next day. We'll get to your calls in a minute at 855-242-7285, but the guest list begins with the aforementioned Pat Dilley. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Blake Topmeyer, great piece on the commissioner of the SEC, and we'll get his take on the upcoming season as well. He used to cover the Vols. Schlabaugh's here to tell us why Oklahoma will rule the roost. And Brandon Marcello also joins us a little bit later on. So I just looked down before we get to phone calls, it's a birthday. Don Staley, born on the 4th of May. May the 4th be with you, Don. Bet you haven't heard that today, have you? Happy birthday, Coach. Great to talk to you a few weeks ago, and we'll talk to you very soon. So, okay, let's get. I looked out at my phone lines, and I'm thinking there has to be like 50 calls from angry Georgia fans saying, what about us? I don't see that many Georgia fans online. So let's talk about that for a second. Georgia was supposed to be this year's darling. How did Oklahoma? Well, let's start with Spencer Rattler, the quarterback. Their defense is getting better. And it is only May. It's May the 4th, as we mentioned. And do these predictions really matter? Don't tell anybody I said that. Okay, let's get to your calls at 855-242-7285. There it is one more time. If you're just joining us late, maybe you were watching something else. I don't know what you could be watching at this time of the day, but it's Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Iowa State, A&M, North Carolina, Cincinnati, and Oregon. We'll go over the rest of it at some time in the near future. Let's get to the calls first and check out. I'm just trying to read what let's check out Jason up next. Sorry about that. I was just too stunned by the topic matter. Jason, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I just got a question. Do you think Florida's quarterback for Florida is eligible for the top 25 this year?
Let me make sure I understand your question. You think Florida will be in the top 25? Is that the question?
Yeah, I'm asking, do you think they'll be in the top 25? Is what I'm asking, do you think Florida will make it to the top 25 this year for the quarterback?
Well, yeah, I certainly do. Florida is going to be good this year. I don't think they're going to be as good as last year, but certainly the Gators are going to be very good. Let me double-check here for a second and see exactly. They've got a decent schedule, but the Georgia game is always problematic. The Alabama game is quadruple problematic, and certainly, LSU. I mean, they have three games, which I see them losing. I think they could struggle at Missouri and at Kentucky. So by no means is Florida in great shape. We'll talk more about the Gators later on with Pat Dooley. But, you're replacing the quarterback. You're replacing maybe one of the greatest players in Florida history and Kyle Pitts. So I'm not as optimistic as some people. I'm really interested in hearing what Dooley has to say, because to me, the Gators are, they were done no favors by Alabama on the schedule. I'm going through the rest of it just out of curiosity, because I have not seen this yet. Indiana is 11th, Notre Dame 12, USC 13, Iowa 14, Washington 15, the Raging Cajuns 16, Gators are 17th. So we did find them finally. Wisconsin 18, Ole Miss 19. Where's LSU? Has anybody seen LSU? LSU is 20th. So not exactly Coastal 21, Longhorns 22, Penn State 23, 24 Arizona State, and Miami. Miami's Alabama's opening game. So interesting that Schlabaugh has Ole Miss ahead of LSU. That is that could portend some interesting times in Baton Rouge if that turns out to be true. Let's check out Mike, who is up next. Hey, Mike, thanks. Good afternoon. Hey, Mike, you there?
Hey. Paul?
Yes, sir.
Paul?
I'm here.
You put me on too quick. I wasn't ready.
Okay, well, I will come back to you in a minute. Christian is up next. Christian, go right ahead.
Yeah.
Christian, are you there?
Yes, Paul. I want to talk about Alabama. Where they're at, Paul?
Alabama. I feel like any of you guys, they're number two. Remember back when you were a kid in my era, you called up the DJ and he was fumbling around to put your favorite record. And that's what that sounded like to me, those two or three calls in a row. Hey, will you play Beach Boys? No, we won't. We are going to check out Sid next in Oklahoma. Hey, Sid, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
My first question is, do you think Arkansas has a chance to compete in the SEC this year? And number two,
well, hold on,
do you think our Razorback Hog baseball team has a chance to win it all?
Yeah, I think Arkansas has a chance to win it all in baseball. Competing means what in your estimation? I don't mean to be a professor here, but what's your definition of competing?
Well, I know we can't win it all, but can we improve, say, on what we did last year? And do you like the coach that we chose?
I can answer that question very easily. I love the coach at Arkansas, and I do think they will improve on last year. Last year they won three games. Can they win six this year? I think that's really the goal. Can you beat Rice, Georgia Southern, Arkansas Pine Bluff? The answer is yes. Can you find a fourth win? Is that Auburn at home? Yes. Maybe Mississippi State? Five. Missouri, or Texas? Is there a win there? That finding the sixth win to get to a bowl game, to me, is the challenge for the Razorbacks. Let's take a break. Your phone call is right around the corner at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back, and it is great to have you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to remember what day it is. Anyway, don't forget, tomorrow we'll be talking to some of the celebrities at the Regents Tradition in Birmingham, a number of top coaches, the commissioner of the SEC, and who knows, a couple of surprises will drop by. We will do that tomorrow afternoon. Let's get back to the phones right now. And Mike is up next in Jacksonville. Mike?
Can you hear me this time, Paul?
I can.
All right. How about that? The reason I was calling, and I understand now why people, when they call, they always say, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Now that makes sense, because I tried to call a couple times ago. What I was calling for is because, have you noticed, maybe not, maybe it's not a real thing, but ever since Kirby Smart, the longest he's been away from Nick Saban, the worst his team has gotten. You notice that? Or is that just me as an Alabama fan? It seems like Georgia's slidden off ever since. You know, the more he gets away from Nick Saban, the worse their team gets. You notice that?
Mike, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Go ahead, okay. Please. I'm driving. I'm
going to
do it.
Yeah, I'll do this gently. Number one, are you currently or have you been in the last 6 months under any mind-altering medication?
No, sir. Okay. I have not. I try not to.
You're not running a fever or having flashbacks from 1968 at Woodstock. So you sound like you're too young for all that. So here's my answer to you.
I'll turn 40 in September, Paul.
Well, Woodstock 2 years ago then. You have gotten into some bad weed somewhere, my friend. Kirby Smart, if you eliminate the transition year at Georgia, has been spectacular. He played for the national championship in 2017 after winning the SEC. He's finished number 7-4-7 in the final polls at a school that had to fire the previous coach because the recruiting had gotten stale. He's been in the top 5 in recruiting every year. So, I mean, other than your allegiance to Bama, which is fine, I really don't understand where you're coming from.
Okay, can I respond?
Of course, that's why we're here.
You said he finished 7-4-7. All right.
I'm talking about the final AP poll, or the final college football poll, whatever it is.
Right. But ever since he has been at Georgia, and what I'm getting at is when he's slipping further away from. He learned everything he knows from Nick Saban.
Mike, hold on a second, okay?
Go ahead.
Do you know anything about Kirby Smart?
Yeah.
I normally don't like to do this because that's, you know, somebody's nice enough to call in the show. I don't want to put them, I don't want to turn this into an inquisition, but you're the one that made this an issue. So I feel like it's incumbent upon me to ask you the question I did. What do you know about Kirby Smart outside of his years working for Nick Saban?
He was a defensive back at the University of Georgia. He was number 36.
Okay.
He was a defensive coordinator with LSU under Alabama, or under Nick Saban.
Right.
Before Saban went to Alabama, he was also a defensive coordinator with the Dolphins.
Yeah, no, that's all correct. And but you said he learned everything he knows from Nick Saban. And I'm not sure that's true. Number one, he played high school football. He played college football. It's also a fact that his father was a high school football coach. You think he learned anything from him?
I'm sure he did.
Alabama mentality that everything begins and ends with Nick Saban. I've heard it before. I lived in Alabama more than 30 years, so I'm familiar with it. I was there for the first 7 or 8 years of the Saban tenure. So I'm not being hard on you. I'm just wondering if we're not giving Kirby Smart a little bit of credit for, you know, learning under a coach who was his dad, his high school and college coaches, other people that he got to know. I mean, he didn't learn everything he does now under Nick Saban.
No. That's the whole point of my call, though. The whole point of my call was telling you that, I apologize. The whole point of my call was explaining that ever since he has been away from Saban, he has went downhill.
Well, bottom line, and by the way, Will Muschamp was the defensive coordinator at LSU. Kirby was not, but... The point.
I said he was part of the coaching. You know that. I just said.
Kirby Smart has done a phenomenal job at Georgia. Is he Nick Saban? No. Could he be one day? I don't know. But do you know? I mean, if you move Alabama off Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson off the ledger, maybe Oklahoma. I mean, what else can you expect out of Kirby Smart? I think he's been a phenomenal coach, and I just don't understand why you, as an Alabama fan, would be coming in with this take. Maybe if you're a Gator, you might not like Kirby Smart, but why would you come off with this type of comment?
Well, the reason being is I have a different place to live in Georgia, and I spent time there. I got a lot of friends there. And listen, when it comes to Kirby Smart, the further it gets away from Nick Saban, the worse he gets. That's the whole point of my call.
Okay, well, I am not going to debate this any longer. I think sometimes you just have to let things go away. But I want to thank you for the call. It was enlightening and bewildering. Thanks. Let's check out Phil next in Nashville. How are you, Phil?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, this probably be a silly question to ask. I know it's early. Football season hadn't started. But I'd just like to pick your head just for a second. If there is any in SEC this year that might be on the hot seat? I know we got quite a few new coaches in. And me being a Vanderbilt fan, I got off because Derek Mason tore that program all to pieces, and I'm so glad that we got this new coach. I'm looking forward to see what he can do. It's going to take him a while to get built back up. But I was just curious, do you think there's any coaches right now in the SEC that might be on the hot seat? And one more question, Paul. Do you think this could be Jim Harbaugh's last year at Michigan with the heat he's been going through up in Michigan? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. I don't think this will be Harbaugh's last year because Michigan fans are just too blind to make the obvious change. You know, you had four coaches fired last year in the SEC. The previous year you had a couple of other changes. So there has been almost a mass turnover. So if you looked at the coaches who would be potentially in trouble, I really don't think of anyone right off the top of my head. I can't think of a coach being fired simply for on-the-field performance. To me, I just don't see it right now. Anyway, let's continue with more phone calls. And Mike is up next in Florida. Hey, Mike, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Hey. How are you doing today?
Hey there. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Hey, I got a question for you. Were you at the SEC championship game last year, just out of curiosity?
No.
Well, I was. And I can tell you that I visually saw Nick Saban's bald spot and his gray hair grow exponentially. So when somebody says that the Gators going to be 17, the Gators are really bringing back a lot of talent this year. And I think they're going to be in it. I don't think they're going to win it, but I think they're going to be in it. And if I can add one more personal note, when you see Jordan Rodgers, tell him I said thank you for my birthday dinner 2 years ago that he bought me in Gainesville, Florida. Other than that, thank you.
Thank you very much. Great to have you on. We are up against a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Pat Dooley will join us in a second as well. Talk about the Gators and a few other things like the Georgia Bulldogs.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back here on a Tuesday afternoon. It's always great to welcome our next guest. He is Pat Dooley, the longtime columnist, talk show host, podcaster. He's still around. Even though he left the newspaper after so many years. Pat, it's great to catch up with you again. We had a really interesting chat a couple of days ago with your brother, so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, we're all recovering from my dad passing away, and he was, I tell you, Paul, you got him through so many days during the COVID thing. I mean, can you imagine being a shut-in during that time? And whenever I was going to be on the show, he would. All the healthcare workers knew exactly what time they had to turn on TV. So I appreciate you so much for all the things you did for him as well.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I know there. I really don't. I mean, nobody knows. I mean, everybody says the right thing, Pat. But knowing what I know about your dad, this is not a man that you can. That you can move on from quickly. So I really appreciated all that you've said and all your brother had said the other day, and it feels like he's still watching. And if he were still watching, I think he'd be interested in what you had to say about the upcoming season. You wrote about a number of different topics. I want to start with one closer to home than the Dogs, which we will get to. But let's talk about Dan Mullen for a second, because you allude to him in your piece, and there's still some gnashing of teeth in the aftermath of the season. It was the best of times, and in many ways, it was the worst of times.
Gosh, think about it. Watching those guys play, you know, Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts, and then at the end of the season, you're 8-4. So, yeah, there's some of that. The piece I do this thing up for what's called Gators Wire, and it's really been fun because they let me do a list. You know, and I'm big on lists. So every week it's a list. This was a list of why the media. When I say the media, I'm talking. Look, we all know we're not talking about Greeny and, you know, all these people that, you know, Stephen A. Smith. Those guys only care about the NBA and the NFL. We know that. But this is the media that covers college football, and the media in the South especially, and they're going to be in love with Georgia, which is fine. And they last year they were in love with Florida. And here were the 10 reasons why they're in love with Georgia this year. And one of them was that I think the bloom is a little bit off the rose in terms of how the media feels about Dan Mullen, because there have been a lot of things, whether it was demanding a full stadium in the middle of COVID, whether it was, and then catching COVID right afterward, whether it was, you know, the running on the field in that Missouri game at halftime, and obviously there was issues that were caused there, and showing up in Darth Vader's costume because it was Halloween, although, you know, whatever. And then also the public knowledge that he got a show cost. So, and then Florida basically saying, we're taking it against Oklahoma. Nobody liked that. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things about Dan Mullen that right now people are not overly happy about in the media. And like, Gator fans are right there with him. They're saying, we think we got a good guy, but we're still not sure.
What does he need to do? Or maybe the second part of that is, what should he avoid doing to try to move forward?
Well, I mean, it was an easy question last year. You said beat Georgia. So he beat Georgia, and things still didn't turn out the way they hoped they would. But that's just the way it is. I mean, all you can do is get to that game, and then you're still going to have to play Alabama. And it hasn't worked out well for a lot of teams. I mean, it's been a while since an East team has won it. So I would say that this year, beat Georgia. But think about this, and this was one of the 10 reasons I listed, Paul. Georgia, when they play the West, they play an Auburn team with a brand-new coach, and I have no idea what's going to happen with Auburn. I don't know if you do. If you do, please enlighten me. And Arkansas, which is a 3-win team, but we think they're progressing, but they're certainly not intimidating. And Florida from the West plays LSU and Alabama. I mean, it's not even close to how tough it is. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. You're going to have to really play well this year. But after last year, when you had to play, in the case of Florida, I think they played 8 straight conference games. I mean, it can't be any harder than that.
No, you're right. That is a ridiculous schedule. I mean, you could really be good and lose 3 games without blinking. And well, let's get to the main attraction then. And that's the dogs. I always love it when somebody that lives in the Gainesville area talks about Georgia. It's so much more enlightening. So give us – you have a lot – this whole column is about that. And it does seem like we're already in love with JT Daniels. Somebody yesterday had him going number one in next year's NFL draft. Georgia is definitely a top 3, top 4 team. That's not surprising. So what's the view from Gatorland about what Kirby Smart is about to do?
Well, I think it's like, okay, they're back where Florida was last year. Last year, if you remember, everybody was like, all the guys were like, who's going to be my pick that everybody's going to blow everybody away? It's going to be Florida in the college football playoff. And if you remember, Paul, even though we didn't go to an SEC Media Days, we did have an SEC Media Days virtually, kind of, and we all picked, or we, at least enough of us, picked Florida to win the division. So everybody says we're always wrong. We picked Florida and Alabama to be Florida in the championship game. So we're dead on about that. But this year, I think nobody is interested in Florida. Florida's got a brand-new quarterback. They don't know how good he is. Obviously, like as I point out in this column, you know, people are kind of lost a little bit of faith in Dan Mullen because of the way the season ended. It certainly, he didn't throw a shoe, but it still ended that way. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, and again, Georgia's front 7 is supposed to be ridiculous this year. And as I mentioned in the column, JT Daniels is a sexy beast. Everybody's in love with him, you know. Well, he played really well against some fairly mediocre teams, except for the last game against Cincinnati, but Cincinnati was a better team. But again, we're talking about a group of five teams. So let's see what he does in the big games. But he didn't have that many big games after the first one. And the first one really is like has nothing to do with the SEC East, as you know.
No doubt. Pat, let me ask you about Kirby Smart, though, because you know we just had a caller a minute ago complaining. And I, sometimes you can dig yourself into much defending someone, but you've been around the SEC. You've seen the best. What does Kirby Smart mean to you?
Well, I think he's really good at what he is good at. You know, and that is the thing that some coaches don't always get. And I'm not sure. Like, Will Muschamp would always say, you know, I'm going to go back to just coaching defense and special teams because that's what I'm good at. And then, you know, things still didn't work out. So, but I think you've got to be good at what you're good at. And I think he's good at recruiting, and he's certainly good at defense. But last year, of course, nobody was good at defense. You know who was good at defense? Army. That's because they never gave you the ball. That was the key to defense last year. The Army led the nation in defense because they never let anybody else have the ball. So, you know, I think you've got to look at what Kirby's done in recruiting, how he's gotten Georgia to a level of, you know, a high level. Obviously not over the hump, and it's a hard mountain to get over. I mean, a lot of teams just hope they can get to where they can see the mountaintop. I mean, Kirby's seeing the mountaintop every year, and he just can't quite reach that summit. And I'm sure one day it'll happen. This might be a good year because Florida replacing their quarterback with, you know, with a tougher schedule than Georgia does. It would seem like it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be easy for Georgia to win the East, but you've got one team you got to beat, and that's Florida. And Florida's probably going to be a notch down. But, you know, who knows? I'll be honest with you, Paul. I really like Florida's roster. I don't like it in terms of the stars that they had last year. I mean, we may never see another guy like Kyle Pitts in our lifetime. Kadarius Toney is ridiculous what he was able to do. And Kyle Trask obviously was much like some of the great Heisman Trophy winners that Florida's had. So you had all that together, and you still went 8-4. So, you know, it was a weird year. We all know that. But it'll be. I just don't see Florida being able to be as good. But I think their roster actually might be better.
Pat, before you go, two-part question, and they're basically the same person. It seems like they're joined at the hip, even though they live three doors down from one another in Jacksonville. But you have Urban Meyer now coaching the Jags, and then there was a story out the other day about Tebow, perhaps, we don't know for sure, coming back. What are the conversations in your town about Urban, and then the possibility that the favorite son could end up playing tight end for the Jaguars?
Well, it's been interesting, especially on our show. We talked about it, and a lot of people said, why did he do this before? He should have done it a long time ago. You mean when he was winning playoff games as a quarterback? He should have done it then when he was hitting, you know, playing for the Mets. He's doing his path. Nobody can define your path. Just do your path. I don't think it's going to happen. I talked to Matt Hayes the other day, and he's convinced it's going to happen.
Really?
I think it's more of a courtesy, you know? Like, hey, Tim, yeah, why don't you come work out for us? You live that right next door to me, so why don't you come work out? In fact, we can do it right here in the front yard. I have no idea if Tim Tebow can catch a bullet pass on a 3-yard out. I don't know that. I mean, but I will tell you this. The community in here is kind of like, man, they've always been kind of iffy on Urban because the way he left. But then he's now the Jaguars coach. Okay, we like him a little more. Maybe it is time to get in the Ring of Honor. He lets Tim Tebow play tight end on the Jaguars. They may have a parade down the street just for that.
That might be worth it just to get in the Ring of Honor.
I know. That would do it. I think that would do it.
I'm curious because it's such a fascinating topic. Why does Hayes think it's such a done deal?
No, I think Matt thinks it's he sees it the way I think I see it potentially, and Matt was just saying, hey, look, he can all of a sudden, you know, you can put him at you can have him as your third tight end, and then all of a sudden you bring him in there on third and one, and you line him up in the backfield, and people are freaking out. And the next thing you know, he throws a jump pass, and it's like the biggest story in football, which is what they want to be. They're not going to be a great team this year, right? We all know that. I mean, there's a reason they won one game last year.
So what's the downside, but, I guess, is my question. And do you, by the way, do you think it's a maybe a four? We asked Mullen this the other day, and he kind of blew it off in terms of he doesn't think Tebow wants to be a coach. But do you think maybe this is the way that Urban gets him in there as a he starts with the Jaguars and then obviously moves back to Gainesville?
Yeah, I mean, I could see something like that happening, but here's the bottom line. Tim Tebow doesn't need any of this stuff, anything else, but he needs it. You know what I mean? Financially, he doesn't need it. Fame-wise, he doesn't need it. But there's something he needs that competitive spirit is driving him nuts, I'm sure, right now, that baseball's gone, and, you know, he wants to come back and try to play football. Okay, if that didn't work, then he wants to coach football. I think there's something that's going to end up with him, whether it's in Gainesville or in Jacksonville or somewhere, because he's built. I mean, you've been around him a lot, as have I. But, I mean, he wants to compete constantly, and I think he's going to find a way to compete one way or another.
Great stuff. Pat Dooley, always great to have you, the host of another Dooley Noted podcast. Pat, come back soon. We had a blast, and it's so good to talk to you again.
Hey, anytime, Paul. Thanks for everything. Thanks for the really nice text that you sent when my dad passed. And it really has meant a lot to me, people like you.
Thank you very much. We miss him. And we will talk to you soon. Thank you very much, Pat Dooley, joining us.
Okay, buddy.
You got it. Great to talk to you, Pat. We will be back. The Tebow question still hovers over Jacksonville right now. We will get to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And, of course, welcome back here on this May 4th. The theme of the day. Let's check out Sean next up. Good afternoon, Sean.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great.
Couple things. Pat kind of touched on it, you know, about his thoughts on Georgia. But what do you think about JT Daniels as far as the quarterback for Georgia? Do you think I think somebody had him picked as the number one pick in the next year's draft. And the second thing, do you think that how do you rate Georgia's draft this year, taking nine players in the draft?
Well, I think it's good. I mean, I think, you know, you could quibble. You could take it both ways when you look at the talent that Georgia has signed. You know, should it be better? And not in terms of the number, but in terms of the position. But those are always hard things to quantify. As far as Georgia this year, I feel really good about them. And I don't know how you can't.
Okay. We talked another week ago about Tennessee. I said something about a dark horse, and you'd come out and said, you know, you mentioned Tennessee. How do you think he's going to do, the coach there? How do you think he's going to do this year?
I think they're going to be better. I mean, I think they're somewhere in the 500 range, maybe a little better. But, you know, remember the roster was just destroyed by the Jeremy mm-hmm. Pruitt situation. He's made up for some of that by – getting folks in the transfer portal. The schedule is on our screen for those of you elsewhere. Bowling Green, Pittsburgh, Tennessee Tech is the beginning. I mean, that could not be a better beginning for a new coach. And then it gets really tough at Florida, at Missouri, back-to-back. South Carolina, I think, is a must-win game at home, and I think they probably will win that game. Ole Miss probably need to win that game to have a really good season, because Alabama and Kentucky on the road and Georgia, that looks like three straight losses before you win the last two games. So I see Tennessee somewhere between six and eight wins, probably 6-7 would be more realistic.
Well, that'd be great if they accomplish that.
Well, I think, Sean, I think the schedule is really favorable. The non-conference schedule is a great way. And now, I could have said that 2 years ago, and Jeremy Pruitt lost to Georgia State and BYU. Anyway, we're up against a break. A lot to do in the second hour. Your phone calls as well right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.